Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chase and Michelle presented by Hair Club. Welcome in, everyone. I'm Michelle Knezovic. Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe today. We got Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. We are live from our game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. A lot of topics to cover today. We want you to weigh in on all of them. Text, call, all show long from now until 11 a.m. on the 102.5 The Game phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I know you already know the number, but 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A little Michelle and Junie rendition of Chase and Michelle today. Junie Riddle, how are we doing this morning?
Doing really good. You know, happy to help old Chase McCabe out. You know, he's a little overloaded right now, filling in for Stillman while he's on vacation. So, you know, I thought I'd take a little bit of the weight off for Chase. So, appreciate it, Chase. Thanks for letting me fill in.
So you mentioned there, Junie will be with me on Chase and Michelle today, tomorrow, and then we also have Junie and Michelle Saturdays, 9 to 11, and Chase McCabe will be filling in on Stillman and Company for the rest of the week because Jared Stillman is on a nice little vacation. Quickly, though, a little rundown of our show today. We're going to get into some of the Tennessee Titans moves that were made yesterday. And John Hines will be joining the show at 9:30 this morning, and so will Chase McCabe. So he will be interviewing John Hines at 9:30 this morning. But, Junie, I touched on it. The Tennessee Titans made some significant cuts yesterday, none too surprising, but those included Taylor Lewan, Randy Bullock, Zach Cunningham, and Robert Woods. Were you surprised yesterday? I think the only one that I was a little bit surprised about was Randy Bullock. I know we talked about them needing a new kicker. I guess he was just one of the guys in my head I just didn't think about.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the first player you're not going to think about is going to be the kicker. But, I mean, Randy Bullock, he needed to go. You know, the Titans have struggled with kicking for the last 3 or 4 years. It never seems like they can get the right guy. I think that likely, you know, Joe and Robbie mentioned it earlier in their show before ours, that they might go in the draft and find somebody. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not really up to date with the kicking market currently. You know, now that the Titans need one, you know, I'll probably be diving deeper into that. But I don't know. I just, when you're a kicker nowadays and you're missing consistently, you know, 45 and above yardage kicks, when your average kicker is consistently hitting mid-50s, it's just unacceptable. And especially for a team that struggled so much offensively, you know, Randy wasn't as big of a surprise to me. You know, Taylor Lewan, you know, he's been kind of out there on his own platform telling everybody that he's going to be cut. We all knew he was going to be cut because, you know, $15 million for a left tackle that really hasn't played the last 2 years. Is it worth it? You know, Zach Cunningham, he was injured all last year. They've had some, you know, young and up-and-coming guys at inside linebacker. Kind of shows me that they're going to be paying David Long Jr. this offseason. They're going to make a move like that. And then Robert Woods, you know, traded a sixth-round pick, didn't give up a lot for him, but you're saving $12 million on a guy that couldn't even get 500 yards receiving. So no surprises there for me. I think those are right moves. And with them being $23 million over the cap, they had to make some kind of moves because there's so many spots on this roster that need to be filled.
Junie, and just in one day, they have alleviated a lot of cap space, got about now $30 million available to make moves, to make additions, to take a look at the free agent market. But I think you hit on that very nicely. I mean, Taylor Lewan was a guy who the last 2 years here struggled with that ACL. He's been very vocal about it on his podcast. But the biggest question I think now is, will Taylor Lewan ride off into the sunset, you know, continue his broadcasting career, retire from the NFL, or will he decide to play on a cheaper deal, whether it be here? I don't think I could really see him playing anywhere else. Jonathan Hutton had some interesting comments yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace on what he thinks we could see from Taylor Lewan moving forward.
To trying to win a job, and especially if I'm not guaranteed to be a starting player, if I'm not going to be making the same money that I'm used to be making. And it does seem like he's having a great time And we knew he would be a natural for some of these broadcast things. So if that is speaking to him right now, you do wonder, can he gear himself back up to that level to be able to say, I got to work harder than I've ever worked to get back to the level that I need to be to continue to play?
Yeah, and for a team that, you know, right now doesn't have the same outlook that it did 2 or 3 years ago, right? Like, there's just a different vibe with it right now. With the guys they're going to have to drop in order to make room under the cap to go and improve this roster, which has a lot of holes. But one of them was at left tackle prior to any general manager being fired or anything, because Lawan was injured and had the knee issue that was going to be a problem moving forward, regardless of the situation they're in with the cap or win-loss. So I think there is a crack in the door for him to return, but there are a lot of varying factors that go into that, where a month from now, a month and a half from now, post-draft, there may not be that crack in the door based on what this team does or based on the commitment level of Lawan between now and then.
So that was Jonathan Hutton on Yesterday with Caroline Willie and D-Mace discussing what Taylor Lewan's future could look like. And, Junie, I think all of this depends on, what does he want to do? Does he want to focus right now on his knee, getting healthy? Because also something to mention is that he did fail the physical yesterday when released from the Tennessee Titans. But the way I look at this is, if I'm Rand Carthon, if I'm Mike Vrabel, I see what we can make work in free agency. You tell Taylor, you focus on that knee, focus on what he wants to do. But maybe, you know, after the draft, after free agency, you and Taylor's still doing his broadcast stuff, hasn't announced whether he's going to officially retire, but you maybe make up a deal that's incentive-based for him, how many starts he could have in the NFL for a swing tackle?
I don't think Taylor would come back to be a swing tackle for this team. I don't think he's a depth piece guy. He's done too much. He's made too much money in this league to kind of go out there and put his body through what it takes to be able to get ready. Because, I mean, there's Jonathan was right. You know, when Hutton came on and he said, there's a lot more to this than what the eye sees. You know, Taylor made a comment and said that his priority right now is to get his knee right. So that's first and foremost. After that, he's got to put on, you know, a decent amount of weight because he slimmed down a significant mm-hmm. amount. You got to be a big guy in order to play on the offensive line. I mean, that's just flat out. Like, being undersized and getting manhandled by the size and the speed of these edge rushers in this league, it's going to take a lot. So there's a lot of, like, variables on him to get his body not only back into football shape, into his playing weight, but also trying to make sure that his knee's in the right place. And when you're talking about a guy that's 31 years old, he's sitting at 6'7", and when you're over 300-pound athlete and you have missed this amount of time on a knee injury that you need, because, you know, you can talk about skill positions all you want. The offensive line takes the most skill to really master in the NFL. The technique, the drop stepping, the run blocking, like, all that puts so much weight mm-hmm. and power on that knee that could really affect him. There's just so many variables going into it. If everything were to line up correctly and he were to take a lot less money to be the kind of, you know, place-holding tackle until they can figure something out, mm-hmm. I could see that. But again, there's a lot of things that are going to go into that from right now to when this possibly could come to fruition. But likely, I would say no.
Weigh in on our text line. We have a couple on the phone line we're going to get to right now. We've got Adam on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, how you doing this morning?
Is it? Did Adam, did you leave us, buddy?
Oh, there we go.
No, I'm right here.
We got you.
We got you, Adam.
You got me. Okay. I'm just talking away over here, man. Yeah, so I'm not messed up with Lawan at all. Like, I love that they made the move quick. And it's not that we don't love Lawan. We do. I've got a Lawan jersey hanging in my closet right now. But he was not the same after the PEDs, man. I don't care what anybody says. Steroids would obviously help you, or some type of performance enhancer would obviously help you. Doesn't mean he didn't run block his butt off, you know, the following couple of years. and help.
So you don't
Derrick
think
Henry,
in 2019 he was the same, Adam?
No, ma'am. Not even close. Like he, I mean, you just look at the Cardinal game. That's what I go to. It's like the Cardinal game in 2021 or 2020, and he just got his butt beat off the entire day. I'm going, you know, and Chandler Jones didn't have a sack after that, I don't think, the whole season. Like, he just saved it all for LaJuan. That's not my main point. What I'm saying is he meant a lot to our franchise, especially from when he was drafted here, what we were. So that can't be disregarded. But I'm not messed up with that. What I was going to ask you guys, and I haven't heard anybody talk about this, but what kind of makes me scared is a potential move the Titans could make. What do you think of, like, a draft day Jeffrey Simmons package? That gets us, like, three players and money ball the hell out of it, get players.
For
get
what,
two or
for
three
what
picks,
though?
And I'm talking, like, a couple first-round draft picks and, like, three decent players. Something big. If you're going to tear it down to the studs, why not do it all the way?
Thanks for the call, Adam. We'll discuss this right now. I know that there's been some talk about if the Tennessee Titans want to put a trade package together for the number one pick, and what would that package look like, because you have teams like Houston or who are already picking second overall. You got the Colts at four. Tennessee's the 11th overall pick right now. So, you know, if you want to make a package to pick number one overall for the Bears, you're going to have to do more than just giving them picks, because, I mean, the Bears are still trying to build a roster around Justin Fields. You would definitely have to put a veteran player in there. And would Jeffrey Simmons be a guy that you would put in that package? We will discuss that all on the other side of the break. You're listening to Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Keezer. Chase and Michelle is presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Learn more at hairclub.com/Chase. Also, guys, if you want to watch us streaming, we are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We had a caller before the break, Junie, about putting together a package on draft day that included Jeffrey Simmons to potentially, you know, trade up and get that number one overall pick. Everyone's assuming Bryce Young probably will be the number one quarterback. He'll be the number one pick. He'll be the first quarterback taken off the board. But obviously, we still have some time. The combine is around the corner, just a couple weeks away. What are your thoughts on that? You know, I mentioned before we went to break that there are a lot of teams ahead of the Tennessee Titans who are looking to get a quarterback this year. Two of them in division, right? The Jacksonville Jaguars already have Trevor Lawrence. They already have their guy. And the Colts have been, you know, it's been a carousel in their quarterback room since Andrew Luck. And Houston is in a rebuild with, you know, a new head coach. They don't have a quarterback since Deshaun Watson. So two of those teams in division, trying to get young quarterbacks. Top three right now, I guess you could say, are Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson, question mark. Some people have put him up there as well. I think him and Will Levis are somewhat of a question mark. Everybody loves Will Levis just based off of his physical body.
I'd say Levis is a more refined quarterback than Anthony Richardson. Yeah. I mean, Anthony Richardson is just a raw prospect. He's a guy that
could have used another year in college.
I'm kind of surprised that he's coming out so early, just because there's so many things mechanically, decision making wise, you know, accuracy issues. There's a lot of things that he could have really improved on in college and with NIL, especially playing for Florida. I don't know. The fact that he's going out early is kind of a question mark, because it'd be better for him to go and get reps than to know that you're likely going to get drafted to be a backup and sit with a clipboard and sit and learn. So, with your question though, about trading Jeffrey Simmons, the package to go up and get the number one pick, I would absolutely emphatically not do that. Like,
really?
I wouldn't even consider it. Now, if you're talking about just trading future draft picks, I would say maybe, but I still wouldn't want to do that, because when you're looking at this Titans offense right now, especially now that you've released Robert Woods, which, as we spoke to earlier, it made a lot of sense with how much money he was getting paid compared to his production and age. Right now, You have Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Kyle Phillips as your receiving core. I mean, that's probably one of the worst receiving cores in the entire league. You got Chig at tight end coming back. Austin Hooper's a free agent. With your entire offensive line, outside of Nicholas Petit-Frere at right tackle, and, you know, he kind of hit the rookie wall last year, so necessarily we don't know exactly what the Titans are going to do with him. But Nate Davis is a free agent. Ben Jones, a lot of speculation about if he's going to be back on this roster or if he's going to retire. Aaron Brewer, really undersized, got body at the guard position. Do they trust him to move over to center if Ben Jones is gone? He's also a free agent, so you got to re-sign him. Dennis Daly, I don't think anybody in Nashville wants him back. So there's so many question marks that why would you trade your best player on defense, which is, you know, the core of this team currently, is the strength of their team. It's the only reason why they're somewhat relevant when you have so many holes to fill on offense. And on top of that, you're taking away really key draft picks that you can use to fill those holes. I would personally, if I were the Titans, I would stay put. I would try and draft as many players as you possibly can. This has got to be one of your best drafts if you want to try and stay somewhat into contention. And you know me, I've been on the release Ryan Tannehill, go get a bridge quarterback, and then try and go get your guy next year and use that extra money to go and fill out this roster, because currently they're only sitting about $11, $12 million over the cap. That's going to get you maybe one or two players because they were in the hole. You know, they were $23 million under the cap. Now that you have $11, $12 million over the cap, that's not going to fill all these spots that you need. I would stick with the draft position, stick with Jeffrey Simmons, pay him, and then just try and fill out this roster and try and go get your guy next year. I just don't think these quarterbacks in this draft are worth mortgaging your future.
You don't think Bryce Young is?
No, I don't. I really don't. And I said this on our show a couple weekends ago. I have Bryce Young as the third best quarterback in this draft. He's very talented. I think that he has a lot of the mechanical things that you want to see, the accuracy, but he's too small. He is too small weight wise. He's got to get bigger. And some of the moves that we saw him make, and I know a lot of people kind of point to the Tennessee game with how he moved around in the pocket and evading edge rushers. Listen, that's college. The edge rushers in the NFL are bigger, faster, stronger, and can track you down. And I just don't think that Bryce Young is that guy that's going to take a team over the top when he gets into the league. I just don't. Other people do. I don't.
I'm, like, blown away right now. I had no idea you thought this way about Bryce Young.
We did this a couple weeks ago on our show. I did my top five. And this actually might have been when you were out of town, and I just did it with Jared. But I gave my top five rookie quarterback prospects, and I have Stroud and Levis above Bryce Young as a pro prospect. Yes.
Whoa there, that takes me a minute to process that, Junie. I mean, you really think that his size? I mean, what we saw him do in Alabama, I think last year that he still should have won the Heisman. I believe. I know that Alabama had two losses, and that'll be, you know, said. But I do think that he was the best player in college football last year, and think that although, yes, he's a small guy, I think that his skill and his talent level, I mean, there's a reason that he is right now, I believe, overall the clear favorite.
I mean, I see what you're saying as a favorite, but I'm looking at him and his intangibles and how that can translate into the NFL, and especially if you're taking him with the first overall pick. If he's going to Houston, you know, there's not going to be a lot of talent with him. He came from Alabama. Alabama has the best player at almost every single position. And I know that their receiving core wasn't the best this year. But in years past, they've had a ton of receivers that have gone in the first round. And when you take a guy like that who's undersized, he needs to get a little bit bigger, he's on the shorter end of things. You know, people like to bring up Drew Brees. Well, Drew Brees is a pretty bulky built guy, and he's 6 foot. I believe Bryce Young is a couple inches under 6 foot. And on top of that, he's not super mobile. Like, he's mobile. He can move, definitely on the college level. But in the NFL standards, he's no Lamar Jackson. He's no, like, Kyler Murray. And I'm talking about speed-wise.
like as a running quarterback. He's not to that level of athleticism to where he can really evade defenders as well as other mobile quarterbacks can in the league. That's why I think it brings up such an issue. So, no, I would not trade Jeffrey Simmons in the future of this organization and their picks in order to get up one of these guys, because I don't think any of these guys in this draft are immediately going to come in and take you over the top. I don't see it.
Do you think Hendon Hooker will have a better career in the NFL than Bryce Young? This is Wes in Hermitage on our text line. Because he says, I completely agree with Junie. I truly believe that Hendon Hooker will have a better career in the NFL than Bryce Young. Strictly my opinion, that's Wes and Hermitage.
Well, here's what Hendon Hooker has going for him is that he's projected to go into the second round.
So he'll get put together with a better roster.
I'll put it this way, yeah. If he were to go to Seattle with what they're kind of building, their defense is really young and they're up and coming. You got Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. They're always a good running game up in Seattle. I've seen him mock to Seattle in the second round a lot. If he were to go there and Bryce Young were to start out in Houston, I could definitely see a scenario that they transition from Geno Smith to Hendon Hooker and Hendon Hooker be set up in a better situation and have a better career than Bryce Young.
Okay, we've got Drew on our phone line. Drew, you've been waiting for a while. Drew, you're on with us. What's up? Drew?
Sounds like Drew's listening to the tunes. Sorry, Drew.
Okay, Drew. Thanks for calling in. Okay, looks like he might have forgot that he was on hold really quick. What do you think about Junie's take right here? Do you think Bryce Young is the best quarterback in this year's draft? Do you think it would be worth it for the Tennessee Titans to put a package together to trade up to get that number one overall pick, whether they decide to get a Will Levis, C.J. Stroud, or Bryce Young? Text us, call us, 615-737-1025. We'll get to all your responses on our text line coming up next on Chase Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Back here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McCabe stepping in for a few minutes here with you. Predators back in action tonight against the San Jose Sharks. I'll have pregame for you at 8:30 on these airwaves. And now, usually, he joins Robbie and Rex Road every other Thursday at 7:30. But being on the West Coast, he's joining us. We say hello to Predators head coach John Hines, who is on the line with us. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Big one tonight. But before we get into that, I know the team has just put out there that Ryan Johansson underwent successful surgery. He's going to miss 12 weeks thereabouts after the injury he suffered the other night. I know a big loss for your team because he's such a big guy on the ice and off the ice as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think first and foremost, it's unfortunate news. But I think for Ryan himself, you know, I mean, you never want to see a player get that type of an injury. You know, where you have to have surgery, and it's going to take about 12 weeks. So really disappointed, you know, for him personally, but I think also our team. The good news is surgery was successful, and he's going to be on the mend. But as far as our team, and you know, it certainly is you're not able to replace a guy like Ryan. I mean, he's got a great personality. He's a great teammate. He does so much for our team. But I think it's, you know, the reality is it's a great opportunity for some other players to get some different roles and some different opportunities to play, but also some different guys to step up in a leadership role. So unfortunate for Ryan and for our team, you know, but the reality is that is sports, and I think it's a great opportunity for some other guys to be able to get some more minutes in some different situations.
Yeah, and to that point, John, I mean, like, you never want to see a guy get hurt, but how do you kind of use it as a rallying point, you know, for the rest of the team of knowing that, hey, we still got work to do, you're 7 points out of a playoff spot, you're trying to battle, and, you know, can kind of use it as, like you said, an opportunity for young guys to get that opportunity, but motivation for the rest of the group as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we realize that it is, you know, this is part of sports, and I think that's why we talk a lot about mental toughness and physical toughness. You know, it's not just – toughness isn't just, you know, the physical part of it. There's this part of it where you have injuries, you have guys that need to step up. You know, you're going to go through adverse situations throughout the year. And this is another example where we haven't really been hit with the injury bug, you know, really until about now with Phillip going down, Carrier going down, and now Joey going down, where you kind of had this conglomerate of injuries at the same time. But now, you know, it's every time there's a situation that's adversity, there's also opportunity in that. And when guys go down, it is opportunity for other players. And, you know, that's what we're going to do, work with those guys. And we'd like to see those guys step up and, you know, carry the mail until we can get guys back.
We're talking to Predators head coach John Hines here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. They're back in action tonight against San Jose. So how close are you, do you think, to maybe getting some of those guys back that you just mentioned?
I'm not sure. I mean, they're, you know, I would say that Phillip and Carrier are making some progress. I don't know exactly. I don't have a for sure timeline on them, just because every day, you know, we have a process we go through with them, and you know, they get pushed to get to be game ready. And then a lot of it is how they respond, you know? So a lot of times, you know, you're not 100% sure as a coach until the next day. So the players come in, talk with the trainers, see where they're at, see what their reactions were physically to being pushed at certain levels. But both of them are making good progress. Both of them are on the trip, so that's a good sign. But, you know, we'll see what they present today when they get into the rink.
Phil Tomasino has about five games of service for you this year, a goal and an assist. I kind of feel like it's been a build-up through those five games, but what have you seen out of Tomasino?
Well, I think he's played a faster game than what he was. So I think, as you know, we like that part of it. I think, you know, for the most part, the competitive level you need to have on the puck night in and night out, even particularly for offensive guys to be able to get themselves in scoring situations, I think has been pretty good. I think there can be a little more consistency and some build in that. Obviously, he had the nice power play goal. He had a couple looks off the rush. You know, the other part, I think he has some more maturity to his game. You know, I think you feel more comfortable this year with some of his details defensively. You know, when you're called upon to play in the defensive zone and the other team gets rolling around and shooting and retrieving and you got to have sort outs and you got to be on top of things, he's shown, you know, to be better in those areas. So it's been a good few games for him here, and we're just going to keep working with him and showing him some clips and supporting him. And you know, he's got to go out and do it on the ice, but it's been a steady progression. There's some maturity to his game, and now I think the big thing is building on that, but also, you know, the consistency and reliability in his game is something we want to continue to see.
John Hines is with us. Tommy Novak is another one that, you know, you've gotten to see a lot of this year. You sat him for a couple games. He came back. Seems like he responded well to that. Is that just something you have to do sometimes with a young player of kind of give them time to maybe have that mental reset?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think when you're into coaching and, you know, you work with players every day and you understand where they're at and what they're doing, and you make decisions. I think there's this notion that sometimes when a player sits out, it's a benching and it's a negative. You know, lots of times when you do it, it's because you've talked with the player. Sometimes it's fatigue. Sometimes it's mental pressure. Sometimes they're just not, you know, they could use a night off. They could use a little bit of, sometimes if you do it, it's not always their goal. They're going to have fire and they're going to come back. But, you know, there's internal competition. There's all different reasons why you make those decisions. And with Tommy, it was a little bit of a, okay, let's take a breath here. We need to get back to this level. He recognized that. We had another player in Jankowski who was out for a long time who played some good hockey for us. And those are the things of managing a team. So with Tommy, it was something we were on the same page with. He had a couple of good days. We got a skills coach in Sebastian Bordalo. Sometimes it's good even for those guys to maybe not play in a game and they got a ton of puck touches, extra work with a skills coach. They feel good. They get some touches back. And next thing you know, they get back in the game and they're ready to go. So it's good to see Tommy respond the way he did.
I asked Duchesne about this yesterday of working with the young guys, or Michelle asked it actually, working with the young guys and, you know, what that process is like. What's it like from the coach's seat to see your veterans kind of mentor and help these young guys go through the process of a long season?
Well, it's important. You know, I mean, player-led teams are really important, and I think there's different components to leadership for your veteran players. That's one of them. That's one of the responsibilities, you know, is to talk with the guys about the rigors of the schedule, some of the things that they have learned over their time. You know, I mean, simple little things, if you're playing in the back-to-back and sometimes the guys might have a pregame warm-up that's 20 minutes. You know, when you're playing 82 games, sometimes you got to find a way to cut that off-ice warm-up from 20 minutes, say, to 12 to 14 minutes, you know, where you do just the essentials and learn how to manage your time. So it's nice to see that. You know, we do have a good group of veteran guys. They have done a nice job kind of mentoring those guys in those areas. And you know, that's important for us also to continue to move along as you have, you know, younger guys in your lineup more often.
How much are you and David in communication on a daily basis of, you know, what this time of year is like? It's, you know, deadline is looming. What do you want to do with the roster? What does he want to do with the roster? Is that just one of those, like, he calls it day to day. Is that how it is on your end as well?
Yeah, I mean, David and I talk, you know, the one thing I will say about David is he's on top of things. He communicates very well with his coaches, with his staff, I think with the scouting staff. And a lot of it is just, you know, keeping people updated on what's going on. I mean, David and I talk regularly every day, all the time about a number of issues. I think, you know, at this time of year, he'll talk to me and say, not much going on, or hey, here's a couple things. But I think it's still a little bit earlier. You know, some teams are doing certain things, but you know, right now my job's to coach the team, and that's where my focus is. I think his job with himself, his management staff, and the scouting staff right now, I think, is to be able to get ideas, navigate things, because there's so many different things that can go on. We stay updated in it, but a lot of our conversations are not totally based around that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, John, appreciate the time this morning. Good luck against San Jose and Arizona, two teams that I know you want to get 2 points out of, and we appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
All right, always enjoy it. Have a great day.
You too. John Hines, Predators head coach, joining us. Usually it's every other – there's a coach that joins the Robbie and Rex Road every Thursday at 7:30, but moving because of the time on the West Coast, and the Predators will be back in action tonight as they take on the San Jose Sharks. I'll have pregame coverage for you at 8:30. Max Herz, Hal Gill will be on the call starting around 9:30, and then they're back at it Sunday against the Arizona Coyotes with a 5 o'clock pregame and a 6 o'clock puck drop right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Big couple of games coming up for the Predators. There's more coming. Junie and Michelle will step back in. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
It's time for the Daily Power Play.
The score! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Searle.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
Time for your Daily Power Play on Chase and Michelle. Michelle Knezvik, Junie Riddle, in for Chase McCabe. Nick Kieser here with us, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. John Hines was just on with us, discussing the state of his team, discussing Ryan Johansson's injury. Did note that Ryan Johansson had a successful surgery yesterday after his injury in this week's game and should be out for about 12 weeks, but mentioned, you know, as much as they hurt for Joey, that he's going to be out for so long and you can't replace his energy in the locker room. It does give a lot of these younger guys some opportunity to step up, Junie, which we've seen somewhat, but now with Philip Forsberg, who's still week to week with his injury, and Ryan Johansson, who looks like he's going to be out for 12 weeks, which pretty much would put them at the end of the season, that it gives more opportunity for some young guys to step up. But there was one thing that I thought was really interesting that John Hines says, and he touched on his relationship between him and David Poile, especially around this time when the trade deadline is looming over our heads. Here was John Hines speaking about his relationship with David Poile.
How much are you and David in communication on a daily basis of, you know, what this time of year is like? It's, you know, deadline is looming. What do you want to do with the roster? What does he want to do with the roster? Is that just one of those, like, he calls it day to day. Is that how it is on your end as well?
Yeah, I mean, David and I talk, you know, the one thing I will say about David is he's on top of things. He communicates very well with his coaches, with his staff, I think with the scouting staff. And a lot of it is just, you know, keeping people updated on what's going on. I mean, David and I talk regularly every day, all the time, about a number of issues. I think, you know, at this time of year, he'll talk to me and say, not much going on, or hey, here's a couple things. But I think it's still a little bit earlier. You know, some teams are doing certain things, but, you know, right now my job's to coach the team, and that's where my focus is. I think his job with himself, his management staff, and the scouting staff right now, I think, is to be able to get ideas, navigate things, because there's so many different things that can go on. We stay updated in it, but a lot of our conversations are not totally based around that right now.
So, with just a couple games left until the trade deadline, the Predators are sitting at about 7 points behind Minnesota for a playoff spot. Philip Forsberg hasn't been in the lineup. Now Ryan Johansson is out for a significant amount of time. And David Poile, you know, has the trade deadline. He's made it clear that they're not going to be buyers in this situation, but what type of sellers will there be? And I think one important line that Hines said was that David Poile is on top of things. And we've seen some reports from Peter LeBrun saying that, you know, David Poile is open to any and all conversations. I know Matthias Ekholm is a guy who could look very attractive to a lot of other rosters surrounding the NHL, Junie. And although a guy that Nashville's his home, you just gave him a contract extension last year, Peter LeBrun in his article said that they're asking or could potentially get 2 first-round picks. And if that's the case, then I think, I mean, you have to take that offer.
Oh, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I mean, listen, Ekholm has been here for a while, and he's one of the core players that went on the 2017 run. You know, like you said, they signed him to an extension a few years ago. Right now, at this point in time, the defense isn't – I'd say the blue line in general isn't playing up to the level that they want to. And if they're not playing up to the level that you want to, you're going to have to move off somebody. And as of right now, he's probably the most tradable asset because, listen, there's a lot of teams out there in contention that could use, a left-handed defenseman right now. I mean, those are pretty hard to come by in the NHL. So I would say it's either got to be Matthias Ekholm, Ryan McDonagh, and then honestly, you know, Nino Niederreiter. He's been a guy that, you know, he had a really, big start to the season. And I say here as of late, he's put up a couple goals recently as well, contributing. So a few of these guys, because I feel like Matt Duchene's just making too much money in where his production is. Unless somebody really wanted to reach and, you know, look at his production that he had last year, I don't see anybody trading and taking on Matt Duchene's contract. But Nino Niederreiter, Matthias Ekholm, or potentially Ryan McDonagh, who's a veteran who's been on a bunch of winning teams, just from the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup a few times with them. So, yeah, I mean, I'd say that's really limited to what you really can trade at this moment in time. But with Ryan Johansson being out, just opens up a whole new can of worms with his team, missing, you know, Alexander Carrier, Philip Forsberg, a lot of holes to fill right now as they're still trying to, you know, scratch and claw their way back into that playoff position, being 7 points down from the Minnesota Wild.
And these next couple of games that they play, I don't know how much they matter in David Poile's head, or I don't think they should matter. I think that this team has showed you enough this year and as of recent to let you know what you have to do by the deadline or where this franchise, where this core is going. Because I do believe that this core needs to be some movement, whether it be at the trade deadline, whether it be over the summer. Because when you look at this team, they don't have to sell. And listen, I'm keeping Matthias Ekholm unless I get a substantial offer that I can't decline.
Well, two first-round picks, I feel like you can't decline that.
That was what Pierre LeBrun said they were asking. Will somebody offer that up? If they think he's the missing piece to make a deep run, sure. But will they actually get that? If somebody agrees to that deal, heck yeah. Give me the papers now to sign.
Yeah.
But if it's one first round and maybe a second or something like that, I still would like that offer. But I mean, if you're the trade deadline, it's different every year. I mean, they got Jeremy Lozon last year for a second round pick, which
in hindsight, you
look at that, and if you don't get at least that for a Matthias Ekholm, it's not worth it. So this team isn't in a rush to do anything, because I don't think if they make the playoffs, they'll do anything. But I think the best case scenario would be you sell and then also find your way in the playoffs.
Well, I think if they sell, especially if they move off a guy like Ekholm, I mean, that's I don't see them, you know, forging a comeback in the season without a guy like that. I mean, that's a veteran leader in a position that you need really more of, you know, especially with the injury to Carrier. You know, you got McDonough and Yossi, the top defensive pairing, and then you got Ekholm with Lauzon. And we've already mentioned that, you know, Lauzon was a really bad trade last year. Not a top four defenseman, I believe, in this league. And then when you look at, you know, Dante Fabbro, you know, people have been talking about trading him as well. But, you know, I'm looking at the value there. Like, where is the value? What are you really going to get in return when, you know, he's going to be a free agent and he's going to be off this team likely next year anyway? So a lot of questions for this team. And I just think that, you know, as a fan, I wouldn't be too honed in on trying to sell at the deadline. They're going to sell in the offseason because I just don't see this team making the playoffs. So if they don't get the right offer within the next week, then don't get too caught up in, oh, they didn't make a move at the deadline. You know, mm-hmm. they can still move off a bunch of these guys and make negotiations in the offseason, because whether they move off some of these players or not, it's not really going to change where they are currently. So I would, if I'm a Preds fan, I would just be patient with this process and know that they're likely, I mean, outside of like a 1 in a million shot, they're not going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be looking to make a bunch of adjustments in the offseason with some of these contracts and players that aren't performing up to standard.
So we have some comments on the text line regarding what people would like to see. Scott from Shelbyville said, totally disagree. First two round picks for Matthias Ekholm, terrible trade. NHL first round picks are total crapshoot, especially when they would be low first round picks. Think two more Cody Glass was a 6th overall pick and is average. Don't trade him unless you get proven assets. Nick, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I can real quick. I don't necessarily agree with that one.
Yeah, I don't agree with that
one.
And
I know
one.
That we can keep this conversation going, but I will chime in real quick and say, look, I think if you know what you are right now and that's the trade that you get offered, I mean, you might just take it. But I also think, look, Ekholm, he's worth a first-round pick to the right team, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's just leave it at that. Is he worth a few? No, he's not worth a few first-round picks, maybe one. I think you could probably get a couple of seconds and a prospect for him.
But if somebody offers you two first-round picks, you are taking that.
Oh, yeah, no question. Now, if it's a team that's in the lottery, yeah, you definitely want to take that one too, but you're highly unlikely to get someone like that. I think he's at least worth one to the right team that is currently in the playoffs. So we'll see what they do. I also want to throw this out there too, so you guys can weigh in on this later. But out of the 27 games left, 15 are against current playoff teams.
So the Preds are going to have an intense stretch as they close out the season, especially without Ryan Johansson, and Philip Forsberg is still week to week. They got the San Jose Sharks coming up tonight. On the other side, heading into hour number two, Junie and I will switch back to the Tennessee Titans, some of the moves they made yesterday, and what moves could we see coming up in the future. You're listening to Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.